Morning, everyone. I'd really love it if you'd just join with me in prayer for a minute. Father, once again, I find myself out the front in front of all these crazy people. They're crazy for you. They're crazy for your calling of them. They're crazy for your love. They're crazy for your drawing them into your presence, into your holiness. And Father, as we look into your word today, we know that it's been inspired. And as we just look at a small passage today, we pray that you will illuminate that word and illuminate it to our hearts and minds and help us to understand what you're saying to us. The world looks at us, Father, with a very different kind of craziness. And we know and we pray that the one day will come soon when they will join us in love and admiration for who you are and what you're doing. So with those words, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're having a bit of a wander through Philippians 4, just a few verses. We're going to begin in verse 7. Let me read it to you. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. One more time. And the peace of God, which surpasses comprehension or understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. I didn't realise how much was involved in this series of words. So we're going to spend a little bit of time walking through that and seeing what's involved in the peace of God, the surpassing of comprehension or understanding, and the guarding of our hearts and minds. We know from the scripture that God says he is love. It's not just something that he does, but God is love. He can't help but be love. And if we just think for a moment, this says it's God's peace, the peace of God. If we have a quick look in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, we read, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." That's very different to the peace of God. We have peace with the Father. There's no conflict. There's no issue between us and him and him and us. This is the peace of God. This is the peace that God has for eternity with himself. He is peace, just as he is love. And we mustn't think of this peace in human terms. The peace that we might think humanly is where things are all good, where everything's okay, where we're happy, we've got all that we have need for. Life's good. We're at peace with one another. We've peace in our families, peace in our job, peace wherever we find ourselves, we've got peace. That's fantastic. I'm going to read you a few verses from John. "If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. These things I have spoken to you, that may be kept from stumbling. They will make you outcasts from the synagogue, but an hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he is doing a service for God. Truly, truly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, but you will be sorrowful. Whenever a woman is in travail, she has sorrow because an hour has come when she gives birth. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." And so we can see that the peace of God doesn't rule out things going wrong, doesn't rule out trial and trouble and tribulation. It's not a human peace, it's a peace from God that we can't understand or comprehend humanly. This peace of God, which guards our hearts and minds, guards our hearts, our emotions, our affections. And it guards our minds, our thoughts, and our priorities, our purposes. We put a guard in front of a castle to protect it, to keep the people inside safe. And God has put a guard over our hearts and minds, over the temple of his Spirit, so that it might be kept safe. We think God is living within us. Our new life is Jesus living within us. He wants to protect that. He wants to protect his heart, his mind, dwelling within us. We are the temple of his Spirit. And God has put a guard over those very precious components of that, the heart and the mind of who we are. This peace of God is not something that we seek. Because we can't understand it or comprehend it, we can't seek it. It's a gift from God. It's something that God provides, something that he enables within us. It's not something that we can choose to seek after. Because the peace of God is not something that's selfishly oriented. It's not something that's inwardly focused. It's something that he gives to people and enables them to enjoy it and to live life in spite of trials and troubles and difficulties and have that peace just the same. And of course, all these things are done in Jesus Christ. The peace of God, which surpasses comprehension and understanding and guards our hearts and minds, is in Jesus Christ, just as he is in us. Jesus Christ has given his life for us. He's come to this earth, he's lived and he's died, he's put up a great fight for humanity. And he wants to protect what he's won. We're the ones that he's won. And we know it. And he wants to protect it. Our hearts and minds are given his protection. We're drawn into his holiness. And the only way he can do that is by protecting us from the world around us. The world killed Jesus Christ, and we're part of that world. And the world continues to hurt his body, yet he protects it. He enables it to have the peace in spite of its trials. We think of this God who is Alpha and Omega. And no matter how far we stretch in either direction, we can see eternity. God has no beginning and no end. One of the pastors that we meet, that Doug and I meet together on a weekly basis, explained it this way. This eternal God in both directions is the Alpha and the Omega. And he has stretched that apart to squeeze in humanity, to squeeze in creation. In his eternity. When you consider that we're bound up in who he is, he's going to protect what he's made. He's going to protect what he's cherished, what he's died for. Let's go back a verse, back to verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Be anxious for nothing. Of course, we're going to have cares and concerns. John spoke about the cares and concerns that all these people had. Yet he says, in me you will have peace. So it's okay to have cares and concerns. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. 1 Peter 5, verse 7 gives us a good insight into the cares that Jesus understands we have. Casting all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. So we're to cast our anxiety. The anxiety that we have as part of our walk, as part of our life, is to be cast upon God because he cares for us. So when it says be anxious for nothing, it's recognised that we are going to be anxious. We are going to have cares and concerns. But let's not have those things dominating our well-being, distracting us from who God is making us into. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Prayer may include many things. It includes supplication. Supplication is an earnest appealing to God, an earnest desire for him to involve himself in one particular aspect of our lives or our situation. Prayer may include thankfulness, it may include praise, but supplication is an entreat to God for his action, for his intervention. So if we're anxious, if we have cares or concerns, and there's cares and concerns within the body, we care for one another. We concern for one another. We take those things to God in prayer and we appeal to him so that we're not anxious anymore. And we do all these things with thanks because he knows that as part of this Alpha and Omega, all things are contained within God. We're all contained within God. And whatever we experience in life, whatever these people that John referred to experience, where they were going to be killed for Christ's sake, it was to be done with thankfulness. We can't do that humanly. We can only do that through the peace that God offers us. Only through the peace that God offers us. It's obviously not pizza. Not for volunteer? I thought not. Maybe some of you ladies have thought this could be possible, that you could stand on this lightly, not put your full weight on it. Do you think that's possible? No matter how much you think about it, it's going to take your weight. We can't oppose gravity except by momentum. You think you're in a lift and you're going down in a lift, you can jump or you can, you know, crouch and avoid gravity for a moment. But eventually it's going to catch up with you. There was a family who were putting their grandmother on her first plane flight. And she was very cautious of this newfangled contraption and didn't really want to go. But she went nonetheless. And on her return, they asked her, Granny, how did the plane flight go? And she said, well, I didn't really trust it. I didn't put my full weight in it. And it's a humorous concept, but do we put our full weight in God? Do we put our full trust in God? Are the things that we're anxious about that we don't take to God somehow trying to avoid the scales of gravity, somehow trying to avoid the scales of truth, of who we really are in him? Cast all your anxiety upon him, for he cares for you. Can't be any simpler. But like that granny, we don't want to put our full weight into this plane. We don't want to put our full weight into God. We want to avoid the truth of the scales. Because we think somehow we humanly can do our bit apart from God. And we lie awake at night worrying, anxious, concerned about things that deeply affect our lives, but we haven't yet taken them to God. Someone said, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but doesn't get you anywhere. I've got a verse here. I don't know what it says. Let's have a look.
Luke 12:25.
It's just a reference. It says, "And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his lifespan?" We can't make our life any longer. We can't grow any taller by being worried, by being anxious about something. God's called us as this Alpha and Omega into his sovereignty. And he asks us to recognise his sovereignty in every aspect of our life. He asks us to recognise his will for us in every aspect of our life. No matter what situation. We know that he came and died for us while we were yet sinners, so that doesn't stop us from going to God. The fact that we've made a mistake or we've rebelled or we've just ignored him. He waits to see how we handle trials and troubles. He waits to see how we handle triumphs and successes. We can go one of two ways. We can go to him explicitly and ask for his explicit help. Or we can go on our own and be anxious, be concerned. We can be very careful in life. Very careful to do the right thing, very careful to respond and react to situations correctly. We can be very careful to treat one another with respect and with thanks for the things that we encounter. But if we're too careful, if we have too many cares and concerns in that area, we're relying on ourselves. We're relying on our own wit, our own intelligence, our own wisdom, our own love to accomplish what needs to be done. Let's turn our care into prayer. Let's turn our careful into prayerful. There's only one letter different between care and prayer, and that's I. If we take the I out of care, we go to prayer. We take it to God. We take our anxiousness to him. We take our cares and concerns to him. We pray for one another. We give thanks for one another. Part of his guarding over our hearts and minds is enabling a positive attitude within us, a trust and a belief in this Alpha and Omega who has our best intentions at stake. And we need to not doubt that, but believe in him implicitly. If we go down to verse 8, we get to see a little bit of this partnering with God. Philippians 4, verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things." So there's something that we can do. There's something we can be conscious of. And then in verse 9, "The things you have learned and heard and received and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." The God of peace will be with you. So it's not just it's not separate from who we are or what we're doing. These things are things that we're required to do as partners with God in our walk of salvation. To think of what is true. To think of what is good. To dwell on those things and give thanks to God for them. Practice these things and the God of peace shall be with you. Then if we go back up to verse 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I will say, rejoice." We can understand why. Because the next few verses tell us why we can, how we can rejoice, why we should rejoice, because of this peace that God offers us, in spite of what we experience, in spite of what we find ourselves in spite of these people in America that have faced a horrendous situation yesterday. The peace of God isn't something that we can pray for and receive moment by moment, day by day. It doesn't come as a result of a prayer. It comes as a result of a prayerfulness, of being full of prayer. And that's a challenge for all of us. But it's a challenge I think it's worth taking because of this peace that God offers us. Not a worldly peace, we can't understand that. But it's a spiritual peace that is of God. Something that he dearly wants us to have. Jesus said, I give you my peace. We can only begin to understand the peace that he experienced because of the life that he lived and the things that he faced on our behalf. And we as his body now experience those same things in different ways. So let's consider how Jesus is guarding our hearts and minds. Let's consider how that leads to the peace that he wants to give to us. Our thoughts, our desires, our affections, our emotions, they're all part of the package that Jesus has made into one new man. And he dwells in us, delighting to dwell in us, delighting for us to experience the things that he does, delighting for us to dwell in his peace, in his love, in his compassion for others. It is delight and looking forward to his return. He wants us to share in him those wonderful things. And he's given us the tools and the facilities to be able to do that, but it comes back to prayer. Prayer that we can offer with genuine thanks for whatever situation we find ourselves in.